So hopefully that one was familiar to some of you. I'm sure we haven't done it in a long time, but just some announcements. So the tax receipts and offering envelopes are available. The tax receipts, I believe, have all been given out. But if you didn't get yours or if you have any concern with what yours shows, just please speak to me if there's any issue that you didn't get it, especially for any of the ones that got mailed out. Wednesday, we're going to continue in our Bible study with our study on people in the Bible and what we can learn from them. So this week, we're going to be looking at Samson. There are some handout sheets on the back podium with the scripture and questions to prepare for the study. So please come out if you're able. If you are coming out, just start that one early because there's some extra reading, I think, on Samson. So I think this will be a great study. The search committee members are asked to briefly meet in the prayer room following the service. Just need to speak with you for a few minutes and set up a meeting time. But continue to pray for God's leading in our search for a pastor. There will also be a men's conference on Saturday, February 24th from 8:30 to 1:30 at Banwell Community Church. They've invited all the churches, Baptist churches, to attend. If you're interested, the tickets are $30 and lunch is included. And the deadline to register is February 18th. So if you're interested in attending, you can speak to Kevin about that. Our speaker for next week is Reverend Stan Mantle, so we look forward to having him back. And today we're so pleased to have Sneha Shaw preaching God's word for us today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you so much for all of the goodness to you. We wake up this morning and there's ice on the windshields and Lord, just the beauty and the diversity in your creation is clear evidence that you are God and you are in control and that you deserve our praise and worship. So we thank you for our seasons. We thank you for the diverse climate and nature that we see. And we see your hand in the nature and in the changing of the leaves, in the changing of the seasons, in the snow. Lord, we just thank you that it's clear to look around and see that you are the master designer, you are the creator, you are the Lord, and you deserve our worship and praise. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We just pray that that you will help us to be faithful to you as we are followers and believers in Christ. And, Lord, and I just pray that you will give us boldness to speak out and share your love and your message with people that are in our circle of friends, in our co-workers that we see on when we're at work, for people in school, for fellow students or fellow workers at the workplace. Lord, we just pray that, especially in our families, that you will help us to show that you are our Savior, that you are our Redeemer, that you are the one that we love and we want to talk about with our family members that don't know you as Savior. So, Lord, help us to not be afraid and to speak out as your representatives. Lord, as this world continues to change and we see wars and rumors of wars and just terrible situations, murders and hostage taking, so many different things that are evil in our world, Lord, just help us to pray for the needs around us and not only with here within our own direct control, but within the world. Lord, we just want to be motivated to pray on a daily basis for the things that that break your heart, that break our hearts. So, Lord, just help us to be in prayer, be faithful at reading your word, and be in prayer for all of the concerns that we see in our world. We know that you are in control, and sometimes we can't understand why things happen. But, Lord, you have a plan, and we know that we can trust you. So, Lord, we just thank you that we have the assurance that you promise that you will be with us, that you will never leave us, you'll never forsake us, and that all things work together for the good, for those that love you. So we cling to those promises. Lord, we just thank you for the ability to worship here this morning. We thank you for the message that you've prepared for us this morning. And Lord, we just thank you that we have the freedom to come and worship. Lord, we just thank you that we can still meet and have been able to meet without a pastor. Lord, we thank you for each person that contributes to the ongoing work in the church. And Lord, we just thank you that you have a plan for us. As much as we get discouraged at times, we think we may have a candidate, and for whatever reason, Lord, it didn't work out. But Lord, you have a plan. And Lord, we just pray that you will bring the right person that you want here in your timing. But also, Lord, help us to see what your will is, and help us to be in prayer about that, that you will speak clearly to us, and that we will be working as one and in unity as a search committee. Lord, we just thank you for your healing power. And Lord, we pray for people in our congregation that need your healing touch at this time. Lord, we just pray that your healing hand will be upon those that need your healing, and that it will be evident to us that you're at work. So, Lord, we ask for healing at this time. Lord, I just thank you for healing that we have seen. Thank you for the progress with Karen's knee. And so we just, Lord, we see that you have the power to heal, and we thank you for that. Lord, we just thank you for the church and this community. Lord, we pray for our leaders in our city, our province, and our country. And Lord, we pray for countries in the world that are in turmoil. And we just pray that you will bring peace. And Lord, if peace is not an option, then we pray for your return, that you may come and take us to be with you. So we know that you've promised that. We thank you for your word, and we look forward to the message that we have today that you've laid on Snea's heart. And Lord, we just thank you for her willingness to bring your word this morning. And Lord, as we continue in our service and our worship to you, Lord, just help us to feel your presence. We ask that your spirit be here in power and in might. And Lord, if anybody doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, please pull on the heartstrings and show the need for you as Savior and Lord. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm thanking God for this wonderful opportunity God has given to me to be here with the Word of God. And with this, I would also like to thank each one of you for allowing me to stand here. As I always say, that I am not perfect. I have many weaknesses in me. As the Bible says, that we all are sinners. And in human nature, I keep on sinning, and He shows His grace and mercy. And He enables me to stand here with the Word of God. And this morning, the passage I have chose from the Bible is Job chapter 1. Please turn your Bible with me to Job chapter 1. It says that in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feast in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well, then everything he has in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Let us pray. Loving, gracious Father, thanking you, Father, for this wonderful and beautiful words you have given for this morning. And help us, O Lord, that help us and speak to us, O Lord. You speak to us that this life on the earth is temporary, Father. Naked we come from mother's womb, and naked we are going to depart. O Lord, help to understand this truth. Send your Holy Spirit to us, and O Lord, help us to understand your sacrifice in the form of Jesus who died for us that we may not perish but have eternal life. Thank you, Father. Hide me behind your cross and speak through me, O Lord. And not only these people, but O Lord, you teach me and help me to grow in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I have a friend back to India, and her name is Martha. And she used to live with her family. She had parents and 2 brothers. And I remember that this family was very good. They were believing. They were so strong in their faith. They used to go to Sunday church worship. And not only Sunday church, but all the meetings arranged by church, like seminars, Bible studies or prayer meeting, whatever it may be. This family used to go to church. And we can say that happy family. And one day, her father died. And it was so sudden because, he was all okay and he was the only breadwinner for the family. And my friend and her brothers, they were, in their teenage. And they could not understand that why all of a sudden, we were living so happily. And our father died. And in this incident led her mother into a depression. She went into depression, and here I have heard that the study is free, government pays for the studies. But back to India, if we want to gain the education, good number of finance, money is involved. And these kids, They did not understand because they did not have any responsibility. They haven't taken any responsibility so far. And when father died, they had to take the responsibilities of the house, all the utilities and everything, and then the treatment of their mother, because her mother was in depression and they need a good doctor to heal her. And that's the reason they started. Means like, in India, child labor is banned. So they cannot go out and work. So the community and families and friends came up and they said, okay, you work in our house or this work and that work, and we may help you in the form of finance. And they started working, they started doing all the responsibilities and taking care of mother and then taking care of their studies. And in 3 months of time, they lost their mother too. Still they were teenage and they were like not able to understand that why and how these things are going on. You know, we just lost our father 3 months back, and now this time, like my mother, the mother whom like we were depending, though she was not able to do work or nothing, but her presence was there. It was motivating us, and then she died. And then family, friends, and church again came in to help them. And they said that it is God's plan and we have to accept. These children, they accepted. And then again they tried, okay, our mother, we have lost our mother too. And they decided that we will do. So like when teenage children may think about their future, about their career, they started to think about how they are going to survive, how they are going to live without parents. And they took that strength and they started settling down. And somehow like years are passing by and they are coming like 18, 19 years of age. And they found another news that the second brother, now the youngest one, he had a kidney problem. Again, they were like broke, you know, they broke and the broken hearted. And then they were like thinking, why this happening to us? We lost our father, we lost our mother. And like we were like collecting the strength to live in this world. And like now we are getting this news that our brother is having this problem. But this brother and sister, they took a challenge that whatever will happen, we are going to save our brothers. We are going to give the best treatment to him and we will save him. And years of like their struggles and earning and everything, they could not save him. They lost him too. And it was the time, she is younger than me, and it was the time like I decided to be in ministry, I decided to follow Christ, and I accepted Jesus Christ, and I was so strong and I was like going everywhere and everything. And then she came to me and she said that, Sneha, what was our problem? Like my family used to go to church every day. It means almost every day we used to go to church. All the worships we were attending, we were believing in God. And why God did this to us? They could not understand. She was like, she cried. Tears came out from her eyes, and I did not have an answer. I just kept quiet for a moment. I was silent. I just said that, as Paul said, that we cannot see clear now in the presence, but one day he is going to reveal these things. Many times, this kind of situations we are facing, you know. Nowadays, if we heard about the hurricane, we heard about wildfire, we heard about this tornado, we heard about hurricanes and so many things. And not only that things, but sicknesses about our loved ones, losing our loved ones, having sicknesses in our own bodies, having finance crisis and everything. And we feel that how we are going to go further? Why God is doing like this to me? Why in my life? Why God is not understanding? If God is so powerful, why these things happen to us? If we say that he is a miracle maker, he is having power, why he is not changing the situation surrounding us or in my life? It is very difficult. We cannot understand many things. And that's the reason this morning I want to speak on understanding the storm and the one who controls. Sometimes people say that it's because God is judging us, right? Sometimes we say this, that because they did something bad and then this happened and all these things. But if we read the story of Job, many people like Job and his character. We are like a very big fan of Job. Sometimes we quote him that in Job it says this and that. And if we read Job chapter, if we go further, his friends come and then God intervenes and everything. And many people, they have debates and theology and philosophies and everything is involved in that. But I don't want to focus on this. I just want to focus from the chapter 1 that about Job. And it says that he was the richest man in the East. Because if you see, like, he receives 4 messages. It not says that time was spent, that okay, in one day or like these days or like, but he receives 4 messages. 2 messages where people have attacked and he lost his people and his prosperity. And 2 attacks were by nature and he lost his possessions and everything. You know, in these 4 attacks, he experienced loss of property, possessions, people, including his kids. And he was so brokenhearted. I just want to focus on 4 thoughts from this passage. First is the reality of the storm. If we read Job chapter, it is like Job is not aware about the dialogue which happened in the heaven. But in heaven, God and dialogue between God and Satan. And then God gives the permission to Satan that, okay, you go and examine my servant, but do not lay a finger to him, you know. And sometimes we are also having the storm in our lives. I must tell you, in this room, each one of us have faced the storm. Some might have come out from the storm. Some might be in the middle of storm. And some are going to face the storm. We do not know, but this is the reality. Even Bible says the last days it is going to happen, that there will be earthquake, there will be this and that, wars and everything. We are going to hear the news about all this. We are going to hear. But are we able to face storms? Are we in positions of handling the storm in our lives? If we see Bible, in Bible also, Moses, if you see, he has faced the storms. Abraham, you see Jonah, you see whatever example you take, it is like storms were there too. And our lives also, storm is going to be there. And sometimes people wonder, what is the reasons for this storm? There might be many reasons. But I just want to focus 3 reasons this morning. It is like a first reason. That it comes, a storm comes to examine and evaluate. You know it when you read Job chapter first, and it says that Satan also comes to the presence of God, and God asks him that, where have you been and why, what were you doing? And then he is saying that he was roaming the earth and he was just going through and see the people. And then he comes there. And then God says, you know, God was bragging on Job. He himself is reminding him, have you seen, have you considered my servant Job? And then Satan is saying, he will worship you, of course. He will praise you because he is having everything. You have blessed the hands of his work. Then why won't he worship you and praise you? And then God gives the permission. Okay, you go. So this is like sometimes storms comes in our lives to examine and evaluate our faith. If storm comes in our lives, what could be our reaction? Are we able to handle this? James chapter 1 and verse 2 says that. storms are good for us. And it gives glory to God. It gives glory to God. The second thing I want to focus on, to discipline and direct. When Katrina, tornado came to Katrina, and then people thought that people are going away, and then God is showing his judgment. God is so angry and God is like destroying them. I don't know what is the reason why it happened. But in Bible, when we say that whenever people of God turn away from God, God has shown his punishment. He has disciplined them. If you see the story of Jonah, and God is asking him, Jonah, you go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I want to go to Tarsus. And then he just avoids the plan of God. And he tries to go to Tarsus. And storm comes there. And then a big fish swallows Jonah. And he cried out. You know, he cries out there, that God save me from this and let me come out from this. So sometimes storms come in our lives to teach us that God is teaching us discipline. We have to be in discipline. He wants to direct us. No, this is not your path. This is not the way you should go. I want you to go this path, not the other one. And this is, we learn from Jonah's story, that he wants us to be disciplined. It says that for God loves, he disciplines. And, you know, we heard the message that God is love and he loves us. But he's so passionate, you know, he's so jealous and he's so possessive for his creation, for us. Because he thinks that this is my creature. I have made them with my hand. He's so possessive for us that he doesn't want us to destroy. He wants us to be in him and he wants us to live with him forever. And that's what he wants us to be disciplined. And that's why the storm comes. We don't like, but it is his nature. But when we are going through the storms, we can see his hand and his handiwork, like we found in Jonah's story. And third thing, to punish and purge. In Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the flood. God says people are going away. God was so frustrated. He said that you have seen the miracles I have done. You have seen the power what I have did among you. You have seen so many things. And still you are going away from me. And then you are going to worship another God. You are going to you worship another people, another God. You are praising them. And God is so angry. And God is saying to Noah that I am going to destroy the world. But God saves Noah and his family. If you go further in Genesis chapter 19, it says that God sent sulfur and destroyed and crushed the Sodom and Gomorrah. But there also he saves Lot. So God is sending the storm to punish the people, to show that he is powerful. He is powerful. All the authority is in him. And this time he is not giving permission to Satan. But this time he is doing by himself, that you are my people. I have created for you for my glory, and you are going away from me. And that's the reason he destroys the Sodom and Gomorrah. But one overriding reason that God allows or sends storms in this life, it is that we live in a fallen world. In this world, we find trouble. We find trials and all this, because this world is fallen into the sin. You know, when Jesus paid the price for us on the Calvary cross, it says that heaven and earth shook, shouted and split because of the battle raging against the good and between good and evil, God and Satan. His desire for us is not to destroy, but to save us. As John chapter 3 verse 16 says, that for God so loved the world that he sent his begotten Son Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. He doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to destroyed. But as we are we born in this world, on this earth, we are going to die. As Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse says that, 7 says that, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. So we are taken from dust and we are going to be in dust. One day we all have to die. But this is like a God's promise to us that if you believe, if we believe, if I believe, I will have eternal life. I'm not going to perish, but I will have eternal life. And what response from our end? What is our response? What we do? We say that God is all powerful and everything in his hand, then why he is not saving? Why should I believe on him? Sometimes we say, why me, and we go behind. We just go behind and we try to live in our places that, okay, it gives a temporary fun or temporary joy. But God has plan and purpose for our eternal life. God is not for only Sunday worship, like we remember him on Sunday. You know, his existence is like, that is the truth. He exists. And he is with us each second of our lives, daily life. He is with us. He is guiding us. He is leading us. We cannot see him, but he is working behind the curtain, behind the scene. Sometimes we have questions about it, but we cannot escape from him. As Job replied in Job chapter 1:22, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'm going to depart. God has given and God is going to take away. He washed it. What is our response? He just lost within a moment or within a day or within a days. He lost everything. He lost property, possessions, his people and everything whom we boast about it, on our property, on our possessions, on our degree, our educations. What? It is nothing. It reminds me that how insecure and unsafe we are living in this earth. You know, we don't know about our future. We are here. We do not know what will happen next moment. We do not know. If we say that we have property and we have money or we have finances, which will save us. But look at the story of Job. And look at like last years or like last months when tornado hit or hit. So many people lost their lives. So many people, they lost their properties and they lost so many things. They were without power. We cannot boast on our powers. We cannot boast on our properties. And then what is the result? If we trust in the Lord, like Daniel, he trusted in the Lord and God saved him from lion's den. And then three Hebrew friends, they were in fiery furnace and God delivered them. God delivered Lord, God delivered Noah and God delivered. Whenever we put our trust in Lord, he delivers. It is difficult sometimes. We go through some sufferings and some pain, but finally victory is for us. And then not only that, if we are not trusting in him, it says that there is one more result. And what could be that result? That is destruction. It says in the Bible, what profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Yet there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. This worldly pleasures, it gives joy for sometimes, but then end is destruction. We have seen so many tornadoes and hurricane wildlife, and not only this, but it is like in form of a financial crisis, job, career, we are facing storms in our lives. And then we always hope and pray for sunshine and clear skies. We hope for the best that no, we should have everything good. And then we have good bank balance, we have good job, we have good properties and so many things. Then sometimes we forget to say thanks to him. We forget when we get up, we forget to say thanks. You know, I myself say that when I go through something, when I lost my mother, it was so sudden. Like how my friend, she lost her father. It happened to me that I lost my mother. It was so sudden. I spoke to her yesterday, and next morning I heard that my mother is no more. And I raised the question, why God, I wanted her. I wanted her at this moment, and you have taken her. She did not have any sickness, she did not have anything, and I really wanted to spend time with her, and you did not allow me. I also had a question. And as human nature, whenever I'm depressed or whenever something is happening to me, I also raise a question, why God, why this to me? Many times it happened. But then God is saying that, you have to come to me. You have to believe in me. You are my creator. I am your creator, and you are my creature. I will. Like I have given birth to you, and I am going to sustain you till the end. His promises says that till the end of your life, I will be with you. No matter what is going to happen, I will be with you. I will not leave you. Even in the Bible, it says in one place, if I'm not wrong, it is in John, that in this world you may have many troubles, but believe that I have got the victory over this. And my friends, this morning as we are here, we have to remember our Creator. He has created us. He is our God, and He is having that power. He is Almighty God. If we will not put our trust in Him, we'll be like going into destructions. We are going the way. Sometimes it is difficult. We forgot to think about what God has done for us. You know, while Paul was in prison, and he wrote from that, so many letters he wrote from the prisons, and he said that, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. And then later on in his letters only, he had some problems in his body. So he's praying to God, like, you remove this thorn from my body. And God said that, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And then not only that, but my power is made perfect in your weakness. Many times we pray and God is not listening. But God is saying that my grace is sufficient for you. Are we willing to put our trust this morning? Storm is real. And not only this is like talking about destructions and this and that, but it goes further and says that he reminds us that this is not our permanent house, permanent home. We are going to die one day. And he's telling that you are living in this, on this earth. It is temporary. Your permanent house is in heaven. Jesus says that I am going to prepare the place for you, and when I will prepare place for you, I will come and get you. So are we ready to go with him? We have to think about it, that whom are we going to trust this morning? When storms come, it is difficult to face, but are we able to say like Job said, that naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I'm going to depart. But the Lord gave these things to me, and He has taken them away. Praise the name of the Lord. God is giving this call to us this morning. He is giving this opportunity to each one of us, including me, that whatever come in our lives, are we willing to put our trust in Him, and are we able to put our trust in Him? This opportunity is for each one of us. He is calling us. He is giving this opportunity. He is knocking, and He is knocking at the door of our heart. Are we able to allow Him to enter in our heart? Just think about it and give Him that place, what He deserves, because He said that, do not afraid. You know, like I was reading one place and it was saying that, it says that, do not be afraid. It is written 365 times in the Bible. 365 times in the Bible. And I was thinking, like, in a year, there are 365 days. And God is reminding us for each day that whenever we get up and whenever we face the storms in our lives, remember the promise what God says, that do not afraid. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I am with you. Are we able to take these promises? Are we able to believe on these promises? This is the time we have to decide and take a decision for our lives. Thank you.